Hallelujah. Yes, I was saying that I've been preaching for near on to 30 years, and that I had seen men. The greatest wonder that I have seen in my ministry is men who had learnt the ways of preaching, learnt the ways of the Holy Ghost, who fell from the faith. And when they fell, you know what happened? They were promoted in the ministry. And the more they fell, the higher they went, until they were at the top of the great big church organization to which we were belonging at that time, when we also thought that we were doing good to go and join up our brothers, because after all, who are you that you just by yourself, why don't you come and join up with us? Aren't we all brethren? Don't we all speak in tongues? And so I foolishly went and joined this organization. And after joining this organization, this is what I saw. Men who got to the top of the organization, become the bishops and the leaders. But these men were among, now I'm not saying every leader is, I'm just talking about specific cases that I knew. These men were among the rottenness of men that there could be, and they became leaders of this great big church. And I was appalled, for when you sit down and you hear that man preach, he preaches, and one day some end time brethren here, men and women who said they were high in the spirit, high in discernment, walking in a higher realm than the average Christian who received the Holy Ghost, they came to me after this man preached, and they said, "This man is the greatest we have heard." I knew the man. Amen. I said nothing, because if they with their discernment felt such power, felt such turn in their souls that they could say, "This man is the greatest." And I asked God about the man, for I too was puzzled. You hear me? And when I asked God about the man, I saw a vision. And I was in a big hall like this. But the tile on the floor of the hall was that kind of very colored tile, many colors, many, many colors in the tiles. And I came into this big hall, and there I saw the man's head as the head of a serpent. And when I looked on the floor keenly, I saw that his whole body was stretching from the back of the hall up to the front where he was standing, but it had taken every color that was on the tile floor. And to me it was a great marvel. Even the little shade, the little lines where the two tiles meet, the line was across the body of this great serpent. So, but the head was this man. So I went up to him and said so and so, because he was a friend of mine in time past. And I said to him, "How did you do this? This is a magnificent job. I'd never seen anything like this before." And he smiled and he said, "I feed upon the lilies." That's how I did it. I feed upon the lilies. And I got out of the vision. I said, "My Lord, what's the meaning of that?" Then I begin to realize that the word of God, the truth, he was saying that he fed upon the truth. That's why he was able to bring off such a magnificent deception. That was the secret. God says here that they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience heard with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. This Bible, brethren, was not written to sinners. It's written about the church. This condition is not the condition in the world only, but it is the condition in the church that God is talking about. Turn your Bibles again to 2 Timothy. And this time, take chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, now he's identifying the time, when it's going to happen, in the last days. Brethren, do you know that we are in the last days? Are you sure that we are in the last days? I tell you, we are in the last of the last days. Because many years ago, some people were in the last days. And they really thought they were in the last days. But we are the very last of the last days, people. Hallelujah. That perilous times would come. And I'm going to add on three words, with your permission, in the church. That perilous times would come in the church. For men of the church shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous. They shall be boasters. They shall be proud. They shall be blasphemers. They shall be disobedient to parents. And they shall be unthankful. And they shall be unholy. In the church. Now, Brother Stacy did describe this morning some of the things that persist in the church. And I will just run over them a little bit so that you might know that I know what's going on. That there are churches, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, that are homosexual churches. I was invited to one of these churches to preach. And when I wrote back to the pastor to tell him that my wife was coming with me, he said, "Don't worry to come." It happened to be a man I knew quite well, and I knew his business. Amen. But here we are talking in all the major religions. Now, I don't know if you are a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Catholic or a Baptist or whatever. In all the major religions, there are certain homosexual sections. They are now preparing churches for homosexuals, and they are now appointing homosexual ministers to preside over homosexual churches. Both women and men alike. That the churches have pressed the government. The churches have pressed the government to pass laws whereby two men can be married. I was in Detroit one day when two men were married by a certain reverend gentleman. Amen. Many years ago, this law was passed in England. And in the Church of England, men marry men. This is law in England. And this is a sordid picture. It's not one to uplift our spirits. So I'll pass on. But it is not just that. It is more than that. I have known churches where sorcerers are the minister. Did you hear me? We ask a man who we knew as a brother from California to come over to our church to preach. I didn't ask him, but I said we, because the brethren did. When he came, he preached. And then he said he had a sister who was his secretary, whom he wanted to introduce because she had a mighty ministry to bring people into the mind of Christ. When he brought the woman, she was a sorcerer trained in a school in Los Angeles to be a medium to bring people under the power of the devil, zap them and give them spirit guides. Any of you ever seen a seance? You ever seen a seance? Well, a seance occurred right inside of the body. The woman came, and the blind brethren allowed her to minister, and she put them all to sleep, and they saw a vision, and all who were there got spirit guides, and they had to run for their lives, those who could survive. That happened in the church. What would you do? I won't even say if, but when they get to you and they come in the name of the Lord and they're speaking all the words that Brother Rick speak and that Brother Stacy speak and Brother Dushil speak, and they ask you to let them preach, what are you going to do? Amen. I am saying that perilous times have come. Yes. Paul said it would come, but I am just, with your permission, changing the scripture a little and said perilous times have come. This, he said, verse 3 went on. He said that these men wouldn't have natural affections. You know what natural affection is? Husband love wife. Children love their parents, obey their parents. That's natural affection. These didn't have natural affection. They were heady, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the instruction of the Bible to you is, from such turn away. Amen. Now, I want to draw a position on the board for you. Before I go any further with the word, I want to draw a position on the board for you. That in Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to turn to it. Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 11, going down, and God gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, or shepherds, and teachers. God appointed 5 types of ministry in the world. But if you keep Ephesians 4 in your mind, and you turn back to where we were reading in 2 Corinthians 11, you will see that in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So therefore, we have a fivefold ministry, sent of God, ordained of God, appointed of God. Then we have a fivefold ministry, sent of the devil, ordained of the devil, appointed of the devil. Amen. Now, let me see if I can draw this for you. Here we are. This is God, God the Father. And he sends out five rays of light. One, two, three, four, five. Five rays of light coming forth from God. And these rays of light are intended to enlighten man's soul. I'm going to put that ray down here. These are intended to enlighten man's soul. Let me name them. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and the teacher. Apostling, profiting, evangelisting, and shepherding, and teaching. This is what we have. Five ministries that are let loose by God in the church, and these are able to bring the church into the perfect place and order and perfection that God wants the church to come into. But there's something that went wrong. That while God was doing that, and this is man's soul here, this is the realm in which we labor, the soul of man, I write it in soul. While we labor to bring this soul or the church into light, all of a sudden we discovered that there was another thing out here . It is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. The world, the flesh, and the devil out there ministering to the same soul. Let me carry this light right through to give the picture that I want to show you tonight. And so there's a rays of light going right through the soul realm. Then here comes another ray, five more rays of darkness, ministering death to the same soul. Amen. So there's a little confusion, because what God is saying, what the scripture we just read is saying, is that this is not being ministered to you as if it is darkness, but it is being ministered as if it is light. Yes. Amen. I tell you what, I should use a colored chart so that you can have a better picture. All right, I'll use a pink chalk and give you a picture so that you can see very, very clearly what is happening and how the confusion comes into the realm of the soul. Praise God. Fivefold ministry from hell, ministering death in the realm of the soul, but you don't know it is death. Right away you see that your soul is divided up into pockets, and you are going to have to choose which of these areas is the true lie. Good. Then now, here comes something else ministering to you. We have a psychological mind ministry. People ministering from their own minds. Let me tell you, brethren, this is such a reality that you should know some of our secrets. That sometimes when you don't know what to say, you are being tempted to put in a little thing that you knew long ago or that you read somewhere else. So the man who went to Bible school and studied, he is at a great disadvantage, because if the Spirit leave him up here, he just step back on his Bible school knowledge and give you such a smooth carryover that you don't know that he didn't know what to say. If I get left by the Spirit, I'm in deep waters. You hear me? Now, here is the soul thing. The soul up here, mind. And the mind area of ministry is coming to us here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with great power. Now you look at the picture we have there. Isn't that what you call confusion? Therefore, the Christian is in a desperate condition. You need the discernment of God now more than any other generation of people ever needed it. You need to know now where God is leading and where God is not leading. You need to know what word is of God from what word isn't of God. Now, let me deal first of all with this area, this mind area. The fivefold ministry from the mind. Very often the people who minister to you from the mind are the same people who sometimes minister to you from the Spirit. Now, isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? Because you are not only confused now with what is being ministered, but you are confused with personalities. Don't you see what I'm saying? Your confusion becomes complete when personalities enter into it. Because I tell you, one sister came to me and she said, "But Brother Dussel, this is absolutely wrong." She said, "But how could such a man of God be wrong?" Amen. And she went right back on what she had said, that it was wrong. And she began to say, maybe God is talking to him and he is doing something that poor little ones that we are, we can't understand. There are no little ones in God, because the big God is in the littlest one in here. The same God that is in you is in the minister. And you need to be able to judge your heart right there as you sit before me. Your heart must be judging what I say. Is this of God? My heart tells me it's right, though I don't understand it. Amen. God has planted in you something to protect yourself. We notice that some churches are now carrying off a TM program. You know what TM is? Transcendental Meditation. And the other night, Brother Durfield spoke to you about the transcendental meditation and how the people have now discovered that what they thought they were importing, they didn't bargain to import Hinduism and Buddhism and all the other isms from India that make India one of the poorest and most wretched countries in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. You watch the nations that reject God and watch their progress. Russia ought to be as rich as the United States, and yet they are so poor. They have such needs. If their wheat crop fail, the people are in trouble. They have to ration them how much wheat they can buy. The people have no deliverance or freedom. They don't have as much to eat, as much to drink. They have very little in comparison to you. Why? Because the people reject God. Of course, many people say, oh no, that's nonsense. But my nonsense, amen, is God's truth. So, what I'm trying to show you, brethren, is that this place, India, has transported all these things to us. And then we find for a long time now, the churches that we used to call the great churches of our time, the great foundations of Christianity as we used to call them, have been teaching in their school a subject called psychology. Now, what is psychology? Psychology deals with the mind, with the behavior, human behavior, and all like that, to study human behavior and so on and so forth. And the psychologists have gone overboard. And the basic psychology, most of the men who have propounded the basic theories of psychology were never Christians, neither did they ever pretend to be Christians. Yet all the Christian institutions are teaching psychology. Main subject, brother. If you don't pass in psychology, you just don't pass. And they said ministers must study psychology. Do you know what I heard recently? I heard that they have been trying to get a law passed in the Congress that if a man doesn't have psychology, pass in psychology from one of the universities, he will not be allowed to preach to people. All men who have not gone to their universities and taken psychology, they want to stop us from preaching. Hallelujah. God said, if he didn't shorten the time, not even the elect would be saved. And I believe it, that they're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Yes. But praise be to God. We pass from this psychological program and we go into what has happened to us here now. What has happened to us is that the church is now just about ready to accept another big psychological program called the healing of the memories. And I don't know why I'm so hard on you with the healing of the memories, but I think it needs to be pressed, because these tapes are going to people who need to hear this, that my memory was healed when I went to Jesus Christ and to Calvary, and he said to me that I remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And Jesus Christ forgave all of my sins and all of my iniquities. And he said, I, God, will remember them no more. Then if God is not going to remember my sins, why should I? Amen. Why should I? Now, this healing of the memories, say that you must go back into your past. And you must dig up some old sin that you used to commit. And you must repent of that sin and put it under the blood. Amen. And then you will be free from the effects. Jesus said, if any man sin, help me, what he has. He had an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. God said that you are not to sin, that Christians have the power of living without sin. But if any man slip and fall into sin, that he has an advocate with the Father, and that he should just ask the Father and he will be set free. So therefore, this program that they call healing of the memories, and they have other names for it, this is another program of the devil mixing psychology and Christianity. It's coming from here, but as it touches on to the apostolic ministry, it mixes it. It touches on here to the prophet ministry, it mixes it. It touches on here to the evangelistic ministry, it mixes it. It touches on to the shepherd ministry, it mixes it. It touches on to the teaching ministry, it mixes it. And so, unless you know what light you have been called to and what you are following, you will be taken. I tell you how you can be taken easily. Anytime you start to disobey God, you are liable to pick up a false doctrine. You knew that. Anybody who disobeys God, God said the sins of the fathers shall visit the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. It's not memories that need to be healed. We are dealing with spirits that need to be driven away from you. Once you are saved, once you are delivered of Jesus, you are delivered from the old man. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's turn to Philippians. And let us look at what Brother Paul say about healing of the memories. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. He said, we read from the 12th verse, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, let's run down a little. All right, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let's read it again because some people didn't hear it. What it says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What must we do? Forget the sins you committed yesterday, day before you were saved. Forget them. Put them under the blood and forget them. And reach on towards. Now, you say then, what is it that is haunting me? What is it that is haunting me and causing me to revert to sin? Amen. Do you know what's haunting you? It is that old familiar spirit that is following you and haunting you because you are not obeying God. To the third and fourth generation, the scripture says, of them that hate me. I translate the word hate for of them that are disobedient to me. You ask me, Brother Dusil, what authority do you have to translate the word hate in the Hebrew to disobedient? Because Jesus Christ said that if you love me, you what? Keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, you hate me. Amen. And so we see here that there is a familiar spirit that was working with your grandfather, that was after your grandmother, that was after your great grandfather before him, that's coming down in the line, and that when you got saved as a Christian, you stopped him and rebuked him, and he backed off of you. And he said, let me go back and see if there is a vacancy in that house that I can get back in again. And you rebuke him again, and he shut off again, and he comes back again. And when you disobey God, he says, I got you. Amen. Do you understand it? That there are familiar spirits. Every family has spirits that feed on that family. We're not talking about healing of the memories. No, we're talking about rebuking of the spirits. Amen. Amen. Not healing of the memories, rebuking of the devils that follow you around and want you to be like your old people who are before you. And so you keep on going on for Jesus Christ, and anyhow you start obeying God, you start rebuking those devils. Amen. And I'll go back again and give you a scripture for it and make sure that you understand it. I'll give you two scriptures, as a matter of fact. I'll give you Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Amen. And I'll give you John chapter 7 and verse 17. 6:16, 7:17. Somebody get it for me. You got Romans there? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, are of obedience unto righteousness. Amen. What is it that's going to push you into righteousness? Obedience. Amen. The more you obey God, the more you understand God. The more you disobey God, the more your understanding gets dull. Amen. Right. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what mind. Okay, you want me to read the other scripture? I'll do that. John it says here, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will do the will of the Father, you will know the doctrine, whether I speak of God or of myself, said Jesus. So when it comes to the Word of God, the clarity and the purity of the Word, pardon me, coming to you, amen. The reason why some people cannot understand the Word of God, though they hear it every day, though you preach it to them night and day, they won't understand it, is because they are not living in obedience to God. They are submitting to some other spirit, and they cannot understand God's word while they submit to other spirits. Can you understand that? Then talk about preachers preaching out of their own minds. How can you find if a preacher is preaching out of his own mind or if he is preaching out of the Spirit of God? If your spirit can't tell you, then the Word of God should tell you. Amen. A very simple thing, I've heard a lot of it, but the only one that can come to my mind now is a very strong, good minister preaching that the boards in the tabernacle rub against each other and you must rub against each other. I tell you something, I was down in Miami many, many years ago and I heard this doctrine preached. Amen. That we must rub one another. Amen. And it will bring forth the Christ in one another when we rub one another. You see, and people would really get into one another and provoke one another and to get them to manifest. Well, my Bible tells me, and yours also, that there are no boards in the tabernacle that could rub board to board. And that board means flesh in the tabernacle, and that the gold means the nature of God, and that the boards are covered with the gold so that nobody sees the board. All you see is gold. So if anything is going to rub, it would have to be gold rub gold. And bless God Almighty, God tell me there's no rubbing in the tabernacle. You know why? Because he said that there is a center bar that goes right through the whole tabernacle and keeps every board standing straight in line like soldiers standing at attention. The apostle bar. The midbar that goes right through 30 cubits is the full sonship. 30 is the number of the son, the matured son. And God is saying that the apostle bar goes right through the whole tabernacle and hold the brethren standing in line. No rubbing. Amen. And then on top you have the prophet, and then you have the evangelist, and then you have the shepherd and the teacher. All five bars hold the tabernacle standing straight. No rubbing. No board rub on board. That's a very simple one. But you know there are some horrible ones. For instance, I remember many years ago, a brother came out with a new doctrine. And the new doctrine, he said, we are the ministry is the male and the church is the female, because it takes male and female to bring forth life. Therefore the ministry is the male and the body, the people who listen, are the female. And when the ministry gives forth the seed of life, pardon me, the body receives the seed of life, and then the body will bring forth the man-child. What's wrong with that? Amen. You know what's wrong with it? Just a little word in Genesis chapter 1. God said that, and he made every seed to bring forth what? After its own kind. If you are receiving seed from the minister, you are going to bring forth minister. And minister is not good enough, for a minister is not perfect. Amen. I would hate to see my ministry to you make you like me. For the Bible said, I must minister to you that you might come forth and be like Christ Jesus. If my ministry make you like me, then I have failed God. Can you understand? When I minister to you, it is supposed to be the Christ ministering to the Christ. Praise God. Many, many years now, men have been trying to cross human seed with monkeys. Nothing has ever defeated the Darwin theory more than the fact that man has been trying to cross man seed with monkey seed and cannot bring forth anything. Nothing has defeated the Darwin theory more, that man came from monkey and we are developed into evolutionary process and brought into humanity. If we were, then the genes would match. But they can't. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see there that from the mind of man, you have been packed chock full with doctrines that are not of God. If you go back into the church history, and now some people's toes are in danger of being crushed. I warn you because I want you to protect your toes. You go back into church history and you see men meeting together in council, a great big council, the Nicene Council. And they begin to say to one another, let us do so and so, and let us do so and so. Let us declare Sunday as a holy day. Let us declare Sunday as the Sabbath. Come on now, reason now. We're going to reason. I'm talking about the ministration of the mind. Because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, let us make Sunday the day of the Lord. And let us, the Lord's day, all right? And let us make Sunday a holy Sabbath day. And they made it into law and they signed it as a law. And they made a decree that any man who break this law will be worthy of death. And many of our Christian brothers were burnt at the stake because they wouldn't keep Sunday as a holy day. It's natural for us to keep Sunday, because we are born this side of the transgression. But to those people, they deliberately made a law that Sunday must be the Sabbath. Bible said they would try to change times and law. But God said although man would change the time, and although man would try to change the law, yet at the appointed time, the judgment will sin. Did you get that? We change the time. We call it 1977. When you ask a person what 1977 means, he said it is 1977 years since Jesus Christ. Lie. Change it up. Change it up so much that we all lost time. Nobody knows where we are, what time it really is. Amen. The ministration of the mind of man. And so he said, all right, we change this time. Sunday now is the Sabbath day and the holy day and the day to go to church. Incidentally, God said that he had taken away all day worship from us. As a matter of fact, in Galatians we are told that those people who make Sunday a holy day, or Saturday a holy day, or worship God according to days and new moon and feasts and so on, that they are backslidden people. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you can't say amen, I could read it for you. You want me to read it for you?
Yes.
Well, there's one yes, so that's good enough for me. Since I wanted to do it anyhow. Galatians. We go to Paul's letter to the Galatians and chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Amen. Some people keep Sunday as holy day. Some keep Saturday as holy day. But some get holy inside and keep every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Which one of those would you prefer? Amen. Praise God. So we see that this ministration of the mind didn't just start here. And we check it out. We see all the whole calendar. We see the whole year. We see not only Sunday, Christmas is another invention of the people who are using logic and thinking out things. And they said, well, all right, since the heathen had this great Saturnalia feast, the greatest feast of the heathen world was a Saturnalia, when they burn the yule log, when they carry in the green tree into the house, when they deck it with silver and gold, when they give gifts one to another, when they use all different colored lights, when they set off bonfires everywhere. Said, since this is the great feast of the heathen, let us make Jesus' birthday on that same day. And so they did. We see them using Ishtar's birthday, commemoration day, as the day, and the worship to Tammuz. They even give you the bunny, which is a sign of Tammuz. The Playboy Club knew that, so they used the bunny also. But they gave you the bunny, which is a sign of fertility. They gave you the Easter egg, which is a sign of life coming forth without father or mother, coming out of an egg. They said that this goddess, this Easter goddess, was from an egg. They give you all that, and you take those. It is all part of the ministration of the mind that has come down to us. But in our time, it's getting worse before it gets better. Amen. It's getting worse so that there are new ministries that we could trust in former days that are now going into this mind business, and they believe that it's a new revelation. And they had this thing in Kansas City, and the great proponents, this is what I want you to hear, the great proponents of this mind worship, which they call healing of the memories, and they call it by other different names too, but this great proponent, they were some of the chief speakers in Kansas City to the charismatic movement. Amen. I want you to hear that. Now, I could go on all night just telling you how man's mind has made this gospel into something else, has changed the words in the books, and changed it and changed it and changed it, so that today, as we stand now, we must have a revelation from the Holy Ghost in order to keep in the beam of these lights and of those who God has sent. I have been thrown out of Pentecostal churches. I've been thrown out of charismatic churches. I've been thrown out of end time groups. Because they are confused. They are not bad people. They are not bad people. They just stop following God and start following a man, and that's all you need to get messed up in this here. That's all you need. Amen. Jesus is in you and Jesus is in me. And if the Jesus in me speaks to the Jesus in you, you're bound to hear it. If you're a disobedient child, it's no way you're going to hear me. It's impossible to hear me. I will say one thing and you'll go away and say, I say something else. Quite honest in your heart, you're not cheating. You just believe that I did say that something else. Can you understand what's going on? And so in the confusion, what is happening is that many people are losing their souls. Amen. The Lord said that there would be miracle workers who would be leading the people down into hell. The Lord said that in the last day, some will come to me and say, have I not prophesied in your name? And he'll say, I know you not, depart from me, he that worketh iniquity. Yes, sir. People who work miracles, heal the sick, do great wonders, God said, depart from me, I know you not. Let's look at Matthew 7 and 15. The word says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. How will we know them, Lord? Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? How am I going to know their fruit when I don't know the man? How am I going to know their fruit? I don't know the person. I pick up a magazine and here is a beautiful message and it seemed to appeal to me and I like it and I send for more. And so a brother comes in and said, well, I am a brother in the Lord and I accept him and he preaches and oh, he blesses us. He isn't going to tell you anything to frighten you in the first time. God said, know them that labor among you. You must have people who labor among you whom you know. Amen. I know the way some people behave. A little group like this, here comes a minister to town and he says, I'm coming into Hudson and I want to be with you for a few meetings. Please pray about it and tell me if it is all right. Instead of praying, you know what you do? You grab your telephone and you call Fort Lauderdale. Amen. Or you grab a telephone and you call San Francisco. Or you call Los Angeles. And you said, there is a brother named so and so and so, and he's coming. What do you think about him? He said, he's a false prophet. Don't get him. By this time, if you had prayed, God might have told you to hear the brother. You don't trust the God in you, but you trust the thoughts of another man who don't even know the man. This happened to me. That's why I'm telling you so straight. I was in a town blessing this town, lifting up this church. This church was an Assembly of God church. And we were preaching there for 2 weeks. And the whole town was brought alive. That church was filled. And it was just glowing with power. People were coming in and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Headquarters heard. Fort Lauderdale heard. Miami heard. They sent messages. That brother is a false prophet. The brothers who say so don't even know me. They don't even know me. Headquarters sat down and said, get him out of there quickly. He's not belonging to our denomination. You are rejecting Jesus. Jesus is in you. When you want to know something, you must get together and pray. Hallelujah. Let me tell you one pure, sure way that you can know a false prophet is by his spirit. A false prophet has a false spirit. Amen. A certain brother was posing, or a certain man then, was posing as a prophet of God. And he was a reconciliationist. Did you ever hear that one? Ultimate reconciliation, a man who says that God is going to save everybody, and he's even going to save the devil. Did you hear that? You ever hear a doctrine that God's going to save the devil? All right. Well, I'm glad you didn't. Well, this man was a reconciliationist, and he came in very smoothly. And oh, he was so full of love. It's just love, brother. It's just love everywhere, sister. And it was just love everywhere. And one brother got up and began to question him, and he got mad. He lost his temper and closed the meeting. Amen. You should have seen that man who come before a congregation of God's people and lose his temper, he wasn't sent there of God. But they didn't see. He smashed that whole group in pieces. Amen. False prophets. Let's look at Matthew 24 and 11 since we are on the subject. Just before we close, eh? Matthew 24, verse 11, and false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And let me tell you something. This is saying that I am telling you what it's saying. And you better listen. This is saying that the rising of false prophets is in the church, that some people among you will rise up and become false prophets. It's not something coming from out there to hit you. It's not false prophets coming from there and there always. Right in your midst, false prophets will rise, and you will have to be ready and vigilant. Many false prophets. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Let's look at verse 23 and verse 26. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Brethren, do you think a false Christ is going to come to you and say, I am Christ? No. It's one that hasn't practiced his business properly that would do that. Because he knows you're going to rebuke him. But he's going to come and tell you to follow him. He's going to bring doctrines to you whereby you should submit to him. Do you not hear the submission doctrine? Have you heard of the submission doctrine? Women must not open their mouth. They must be in subjection. They must submit. That you, brother, you must submit to some other brother. That every brother must have a covering. I don't want any natural covering, because it's going to leave me one day, and I want something that is permanent. I tell you the truth, I want a spiritual covering. Amen. Amen. If the body of Christ can cover me with a spiritual covering, yes, amen. Hallelujah. Cover me with your prayers. Cover me by commending me to Jesus. But I don't want to have another brother as my spiritual covering, and he become the Lord or master, and I am his disciple. I don't want that at all, because God never said that in his word. Jesus Christ never said anything about having disciples in his word. Jesus Christ said to the brethren, he said, go into every city, and in every city make disciples of men. He didn't tell them to make the disciples follow them, but it was disciples unto Christ.
Amen.
We should point men to Christ.
Yes, hallelujah.
If Jesus wanted me to have disciples, why would he say to me that any man who said, I am Father, is wrong? You must not have any father in the spirit. You mustn't say father so and so. You mustn't say father so and so. Why would he say it is wrong? Why would he say in the same verse that if you say teacher, you are wrong? Why would he say in the same verse if you say master, you are wrong, or rabbi? Don't you understand? God is saying that you must not have that sort of situation, because you have no more father but one father, which is God. You have no more master but one master, which is God. You have no more teacher but one teacher, which is God. Then, Brother Dusil, how come you to come here teaching us and tell us that God is our teacher? If I don't teach you in the Spirit of God, or if it's not the Christ in me that is teaching, you reject the teaching. You don't want any man teaching. You are at the stage now where you want God teaching. That's all you need to make you perfect. Man's teaching is no good, and the mind that ministers to man is nothing but a one-way street leading you down into the pit. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 23:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh, so and so. But praise be to God, God is saying that in our time we are in trouble. Because all these things, all this confusion is in our realm. And we'll have to sort out the confusion and find the true ministry and the true life that God sent into the world to lead us unto heaven. I'm going to give you one word, another word, a last word. Do you know how you know a true prophecy? And do you know how you know a true word from God? If a word is pointing you to Jesus Christ, if the word is glorifying Jesus Christ, if the ministry is denying themselves and pointing you to Jesus Christ, then you know it is true. It is of God. The devil can't do that. Okay. So some sister said, I don't have to listen to you, to any elders or anybody here, because I have Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have the fullness of Jesus? All right. So there is something that the body has that you don't have that. Well, that's why you have to submit to the Christ that's in the body. Can you differentiate between me and the Christ that's in me? Learn to do that. Learn to do that. Learn to differentiate between the man, the person, and the Christ in the person. Amen. Learn to minister to the Christ in people and not just to their flesh. Learn to minister to the Christ in them. Amen. Learn to see Christ in them. And you got it made. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have two more scriptures here. And I must show you this one, these few scriptures. Turn to Revelation, because you know every message ends in Revelation. Turn to Revelation and look in the 12th chapter. And on the 14th and 15th verses, and 16th verses. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now you know who the woman is. The woman is the church. The serpent is the devil. And we there's a lot of meat in this verse, but we can't stop for that meat tonight, because we are after something else. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might engulf her, cause her to be carried away of the flood. Let's hear what happened. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What kind of picture is this? Here we see a woman, you know, like the fairy tales. Amen. A woman comes along, and a great big serpent crawl out of his hole and begin to move at her. And oh, the woman is frightened. But all of a sudden an angel comes and give her two wings. And the woman flapped her wings and she was up there. And this serpent was so mad because he had built a flood of water that was just coming to sweep her away. When she lifted up in the air and the flood of water swept across her. But as the flood of water was going down the hill, the earth just opened like this and boom, down into the depths of the earth the water went. And the serpent was so frustrated, he went to fight with her son. Went to battle with her son. You know what the picture is? The woman is the church. The serpent is the devil. And a little more than the devil. It is the same picture we saw of the seven heads and ten horns. It is the kingdoms of the world that has been incorporated by the devil, and the church system that has denied God and everything, that is coming against the woman, the real church, the true church, and want to destroy her. But in order to destroy her, the serpent didn't send fire after her. What he said? Water after her. And you know what that is? The word out of his mouth. False doctrine, lies, slander. Amen? But who took charge of the false doctrine? Who is the earth? The carnal church. Swallow up all the false doctrine. Do you realize that if tonight there wasn't groups that are preaching things that are satisfying people's flesh and keeping them satisfied in their church groups, that we'll be flooded tonight with all kinds of people. We'd have all kinds of disturbance. I've had meetings where people attack me from the floor and destroy the whole meeting. Man want to fight me. We'd have had all kinds of people in here tonight who don't really want the word of God, but they just come to follow the crowd. But they are being satisfied by false doctrines, and it's keeping them quiet. The carnal church, the carnal people are swallowing up all the false doctrine they can get, and the devil is having a good time feeding them, and he's busy. They keep him busy. Amen. Now, if you want to see another picture, turn to Revelation chapter 16. And in verse 13 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Who is the dragon? The dragon is the world kingdom. Well, Satan, of course, but Satan is manifesting through people. The dragon, the world kingdom, seven heads and ten horns. Because you know, nowhere in the Bible did Satan ever have seven heads. Satan only had one head in Genesis. And the Bible said Jesus would crush the head. Then way down in Revelation we hear that one of the seven heads was bruised, wounded unto death. Amen. So Satan really only had one head, but he got many other heads and become a monster in the earth. And so people give them his headship, their headship, their rulership, their kingdoms. Amen. So now, the dragon, and who else now? Out of the mouth of the beast. And the beast represents the man who heads the world government. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. The false prophet represents the man who heads the church. The false church. Am I giving you too much for one night? Amen. You're not happy though, are you? Be glad and rejoice. Be glad and rejoice. For when these things come to pass, then God promised to give the church power. Amen. So the reason you are seeing these things, and you must see them and you must know them, is in order that you must escape them. Because when I turn my back, grievous wolves will come in and won't spare the flock, and you'll have to defend yourself. Amen. The dragon, the mouth of false prophet, and the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Amen. They are coming to deceive you, to try to get you on their side, on the wrong side of the battle. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to let you off. Amen. And so God is saying to you that you must beware of wolves that come in sheep clothing. Beware of wolves that come in sheep clothing, for by their fruits ye shall know them. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, I've given this song a little thought, because I normally don't like to sing songs that talk about us rather than the Lord. But this does talk about Him, and it talks about who we are in Him. And I've been blessed by it. So I want us to sing it together. Do you know who you are? We need to know who we are in the Lord. We're nothing in and of ourselves, but in Him we're everything. He says, "Can you see with my eyes?" So why don't we sing that together? And I'd appreciate your courtesy just to remain until we finish. We'll be through in another 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together.
God, we don't move in it. We don't walk in it. We don't yield to it.
Lord, we ask that you would teach us, that you would truly walk in us and talk in us, that we would see as you see, that we would discern as you discern, that we would know as you know, Lord. Father, we ask that your word might be quickened to us, that you might empower us, dear God, to walk in a heavenly plane rather than on earth. Oh God, give us hearts like yours. Father, may we have perfect hearts. May our feet walk in straight paths, Lord God. May we know your voice, dear Lord, and may we walk in obedience to your word. We thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah.